Everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. Just thought I should probably start putting in the intros again so you guys know what's coming up. So enjoy today's episode. This is with the fantastically lovely Nicole O'Hagan, who is a downhill mountain biker and also frontline NHS staff. That one of those nice ladies that you clap for during the old COVID-19 crisis. If you're enjoying the podcast, please do like, share and subscribe with your family and friends, anybody who might be interested in learning something about something they don't know about. Which I try and do every week. And yeah, also if you would be kind enough to give us a wee review on the old Apple podcast or anywhere that'll let you to give it a few stars, hopefully 5 or 10 if that's the grading system. We're not going to be annoyed about that. But until then, thanks for listening. Enjoy this episode. Hello everyone and welcome to this week's edition of, well, this episode's edition. I've been releasing like 2 a week because I've been locked in the house with bugger all this to do. Everyone, welcome to Darren Matthews and Sometimes Friends. This edition I am joined by frontline NHS staff / biker Nicole O'Hagan, all the way from lovely the Slay in South Armagh. Nicole, how's it going?
Hi Darren. Hi.
How are you? You're just back from a run in the lovely weather outside. How'd you get on?
Yeah, well, it was tough, but plenty of hills in South Armagh anyway, so.
There definitely are, which is probably good for the mountain biking, but not as good when you're running.
No, it's painful. Like, I actually can't wait to get able to just drive back in the new rain, run on the flat for a wee bit.
Yeah, I live now nearby, up just tying into the two sports you enjoy. I live next to Lady Dixon Park here in South Belfast, which is like the Mary Peters running track. And then there's a load of mountain bike trails as well and a jump park. So needless to say, I'm going to be asking you advice about how I can do that without breaking my neck, potentially. That'll be part of the podcast. But first thing I wanted to check to you as well was because I was chatting to you just before we hit record there. You are one of the new frontline NHS staff who graduated without graduating. Is that right?
Yeah, well, we got the opportunity to basically finish our last placement as like part of the staff. Like, we're still student nurses and we're still learning, but we're like counted in the numbers a bit more. So that's good. So we got the option. We could do it or we could not. So I decided to go for it and get the course finished.
Well, fair play to you, because I did see two of the things that I saw was obviously the NHS need all the help they can get after obviously years of total underfunding. So I have a mate of mine who's over in England. He's working as a radiographer. And I said, then what do you think about all this, you know, the applause every Thursday? And he was like, it's really nice and all, but I would prefer a pay raise.
That's very true. Also, I have no neighbours, so I don't think I've like seen an applause yet.
Yeah, well, the other funny thing I wanted to say to you was because you're originally from Newry, but you guys are out in the sticks now. You're out in the Slay, isn't it? Where
the
O'Hagan Manor is. And I was actually driving down to home the other day and I had to go up to Mullaban to get something up past where you live. And I saw a big sign in Camlagh in South Armagh that said, South Armagh supports the NHS. And I thought to myself, that's the only time anything in South Armagh that's been put in place by the British government has been supported.
Yeah, I saw that one. You see it driving in that at work.
Yeah, it just entertained me a lot because normally anything that's put in place by the British government in South Armagh was a watchtower or a fucking helicopter pad. So that was quite funny.
Yeah.
How are you finding it going from placement to just sort of dropped in and you're working in care, you're looking after your patients? Is it the same? Is placement just pretty much the deep end anyway?
No, I have to say, like, the ward I'm on is, like, excellent. Like, they're very good. They still treat us like students. You know, they're still supervision and they're really like they do their best to keep it the same for us, you know, so our learning experiences is still good. So then at the end of the 14 weeks we can, you know, be qualified. So they're a really good bunch and I'm really enjoying it. And I suppose it's different. It's definitely not like a normal placement experience because like the masks, the visors, you know, like the whole hospital is completely different. Like you wouldn't recognize it if you're in now. I know obviously visitors and all can't go up, but if you saw it, you know, it's so strange. It's like something from a movie, but no, I'm really like enjoying it. Like they've been doing their best to keep me a student.
Are you in Newry? Are you working in Daisy Hill?
Yeah, I'm in Daisy Hill. Yeah.
Crazy Hill Hospital. Good Lord. Fair enough.
No.
That's good, because I know the closed the A&E shut anyway, isn't it? So you guys are just in house.
Okay. It's in Gavin now. So it's like patients get transferred back to Daisy Hill.
Oh, okay.
They're trying to keep it like coronavirus, you know, like free, and keep Craigavon as the main one. But there's still cases here and there, but it's definitely not as bad.
Whether they describe it as a clean hospital, wasn't that what they said? They want to keep it a clean hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I would like to think that all the hospitals are fucking clean, but that's really decided. I thought that was funny. Before everyone went into lockdown, the Phoenix Bar, which used to be the Dean's in Newry, put up a very funny one, because all of the businesses were saying, we're doing extra cleaning, we're doing all this stuff so we can stay open, so you could still come here. And the Phoenix pretty much just put up and said, well, we always clean and keep the place clean, so fair play to everyone else who's actually making an effort these days.
It's like the people that have all started washing their hands.
Yeah, no, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing before? Oh man. But I mean that leads us in nicely to the main topic of what I wanted to get you on. So I'm glad to hear you're still working and you're happy and stuff. So be careful as always, and you don't need a tool to wash your hands. I'm sure your hands are red raw from washing them.
They're red raw.
Yeah, but I mean this probably gives you more of an appreciation now that you're only really able to do your sports stuff whenever you're off now. So you have to use your free time a bit better. So the thing I wanted to get you onto is because you're into your mountain biking.
Yeah, well, it's pretty big into mountain biking.
Yeah, I would go so far as to say that too. If you ever want to see somebody who really is into their throwing themselves down the side of cliffs, follow Nicole on Instagram. But yeah. I mean, how did you get into that? Because obviously I know your dad, he used to teach like outdoor adventures and that sort of mm-hmm. stuff. Is that what led you into the mountain biking?
Yeah, it actually was. So whenever the mountain bike trails like first opened in Restrever, East Coast, who my dad works for, obviously they run the uplift service and the bike hire and stuff down there. So I was working for them at the time, and I was actually working in the shop and stuff, and it didn't do any mountain biking. But my dad was like, sure, will we go out, you know, on some of the hire bikes and try it out? So I thought, yeah, sure, why not? Like I like a bit of outdoor stuff, adrenaline things. So I went for it. And the first time I was out, I hadn't been on a bike from when I was a child. So probably maybe not a good idea to be like trying to keep up with my dad in Restrever. So I actually came up over the bars.
First go?
First go, busted my chin. And then I actually didn't do it for... That was maybe in my final year in school, so I was about 18. So my mum was like, no, formals are coming up, and you can't be like cutting yourself. She near had a heart attack when I landed at the door, covered in blood. And my dad was in for it. But then I went to uni and stuff, and was in uni for 3 years in Belfast. So didn't really do any mountain biking then, because I was like out partying and living the uni life. So it was really when I came back home from uni, this is uni the first time, by the way, I started doing it then. I like give it another go, and obviously instead of going flat out white knuckle out of control, I just took it easier and just was safer, and it was far more fun. Like I wasn't scared falling off, because I was just like working within what I could do.
Okay, so you build your experience level, because I've had that problem in the past where when I try stuff, I'm like, let's just do the, like when I first tried snowboarding, I was like, yeah, let's just go up that slope. What a terrible idea. I just thought, I thought to myself, it being an adrenaline sport, I was like, well, I mean, I've skateboarded before. It can't be that much different. It fucking is. It's very different.
Yeah, no. So like, don't do what I did. Like, don't go out and go hell for leather, like down the side of something hard. Like just, like, I wish I had known then, like just go out and tootle along and take it easy and have fun.
Yeah, but I mean, mountain biking is like skiing and snowboarding in that respect. There's different grades of slope, right?
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, there's different. The trails are graded like green, blue, red, black, orange, and then you know what you're getting into. So, I started on like intermediate trails when I should have been starting on beginner.
Yeah, that's like tree roots and over the handlebars.
Yeah, but like I'm so glad I give it the second go, I'm so glad I tried it again because it's just so much fun.
Okay, mountain biking itself seems like, I mean, we all had bikes when we were kids, and I would have rallied around the woods in Bessbrook and stuff like that, but you have a lot more safety equipment going on with what you're doing. What are you suiting up with? You kind of look like you're going to go play American football sometimes.
Yeah, so it depends on riding. Like if I'm gonna go to like a trail center, things that are easier, I'll wear my half lid, which is like my normal bike helmet, and then I'll wear knee pads. I always wear my knee pads anyway because I suppose that's the first thing you're gonna hit or bang if you come off. And I wear gloves, which are actually maybe people don't think of those, but they're pretty essential because the first thing you do is put your hands out in front of you as well when you come off.
That's an instinct,
So
is it?
yeah, hands out in front of you. So the gloves will just save the palms of your hands.
Yeah,
So
I've even been doing a bit of gardening, and I got shredded up doing that yesterday. So I can't imagine the road rash. And I've come off a bike a few times when I was younger and got that nice, gravel landing
oh, a
grip.
burn. Yeah, and then if I'm going to do anything harder, I'll put my full face on, which is kind of like a motorbike helmet.
Okay, that's to protect your chin, which you learned the first day.
Yeah, that's what I should have been wearing the first day, and a wee bit of body armor sometimes, just depending on like what I'm going to
Yeah, is mountain biking, I mean, obviously you can probably start with any equipment, but is it expensive to get into? I mean, to do?
It can be expensive, yeah. I mean, like you could pay really as much as you wanted, on the stuff, but you could get into it relatively cheap. Like there's great budget bikes out there, if you're like just getting a bike through cycle to work, there's bikes that you can get in that price bracket. You could get a great wee hardtail second hand for like maybe 200, 300, 400. You could, you don't need anything fancy. You don't need like a top pro carbon bike for starting out. I mean, if I was advising you on a bike, I'd get a wee hardtail, something cheap to practice on. Get a cheap helmet, £20 could get you a good helmet, 10, £20. A pair of gloves and a pair of knee pads, even second hand, and that would be great to get
Okay.
you going.
Well, I mean, there's nothing you can't get on eBay, so.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And there's great pages like Mountain Bike Buy and Sell and stuff. People post things all the time, like, and great range of bikes for different prices.
Yeah, I think a lot of times when people look up new sports equipment can be quite off-putting. Where,
Yeah.
I mean, if you just Googled top line mountain bike, it could be 20 grand.
Oh, like 100%. But you definitely don't need that. Like, if
Yeah.
someone was out, I'd say, like a basic hardtail mountain bike, you can get them even new, pretty cheap. Like £500 for a new one. I think that's pretty decent.
So hardtails, no rear suspension, right?
No rear suspension, yeah. And that's actually really good for building up your skills for starting out. And then like obviously the more you get into it, the more you'll want to spend.
Yeah.
It's like addiction.
Well, I was thinking more so that if I had to, a hardtail would probably be good because it probably teaches you your balance and because you're going to be bouncing around the place. Would there
It
maybe be
gets
like a maybe a bit of a false sense of security with a full suspension bike when you're starting? You might.
Yeah, because if you're on a full suspension, it'll save you a wee bit more. Like you can make mistakes maybe, and the bike will make up for it. But you're sort of teaching yourself bad habits. Whereas if you get a hard tail and learn on that way, your skills will get good. Your core bike skills. You'll not be dependent on the bike to save you all the time, or make up for your lack of skill. Whereas you'll develop really good skills, you progress on to a full sauce, and you'll be flying.
Yeah, I think maybe to draw parallels to stuff I've done before, the mountain biking is a little bit like being a musician by playing drums and guitar. It's usually better to start off with, cheaper gear to develop your skills
100%.
better, and then when you move up, the bike can compensate for anything you're lacking. But you shouldn't maybe learn. Don't go and spend 20 grand because if somebody put you on another bike, you'd probably break your neck.
Yeah, that's true. And as well, if you're starting out, like the bike's gonna take a few knocks and a few dings, and if it's something cheap that you got for learning, it's not a big deal.
True. And then see if you like it first before you upgrade all your stuff.
That's very true. Yeah. Most importantly, like with the lockdown stuff, a lot of people are out cycling, but you see them without helmets and stuff. So like I can't recommend enough. Like the most important piece of kit you'll have is your helmet. So if you're going to spend the money on a bike, spend the money on a helmet too.
Yeah, my mate Steve-O, who I do a bit of comedy with, I would open for him on his show. He does the character Farmer Michael. Steve is actually disabled, but he's doing a 5K cycle for the Irish Wheelchair Association. So he's limited power in his legs, but he's done that. But he put up a photo of him practicing on a running track the other day on his bike. And the first thing I messaged him was, "For fuck's sake, would you put a helmet on?"
Yeah, definitely. Like, I wouldn't even cycle my bike in the car park without a helmet on.
Yeah.
100%. Because your head's pretty important.
Is that the downhill mountain biker or the nurse talking here? Which is both agreeing on something, is
A
it?
bit of both.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you get out much? I'm sure in Ireland, is it weather dependent or is a mucky trail sometimes a bit more fun?
Yeah, like, I actually, anybody knows me, like, I hate riding in this, like, the slop, I would call it, in the mud. But if you live in Ireland, if you didn't ride in the mud, you wouldn't be riding very often. So I go out and ride in all weather, really. I go out about twice a week at least.
Okay.
And the mud definitely makes it more interesting. And sometimes when it's cold, I mean, I don't know what's worse, icy mud or just regular mud, but it can be a bit more exciting.
I feel like maybe the mud adds a bit more of a chance element to the whole thing about whether you're going to get
really
down this hill
does.
Or not.
Yeah, but okay, it's all good fun, but like, it's so much better now in the dry, so much smoother and cleaner.
Yeah, I'd say so. You're not coming back and power hosing the bike every 2 days.
Yeah, power hosing myself as well.
So that too, probably your mum wouldn't let you into the house. Now,
no.
The other thing is, because I've known you for years and I know your mum and dad, has your dad had you out racing yet? Has he been trying to beat you down the hills and stuff?
Yeah, well, I usually would go out with my dad. Like, we would go out regular. If I was going cycling, it would be with him. And, well, he doesn't beat me down the hills anymore, but he still beats me up the hills.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, he definitely beats me up then, so, but it's good. Like, we have a bit of a race up and then we have a bit of a race down. But as far as racing, actual races, this was supposed to be my first year racing.
That was leading me into my next point. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, so I timed it a wee bit badly.
I wouldn't say so. I mean, you obviously wanted to get your skills up before you tackle that. It's just obviously, is it sort of an Ireland only thing, or would you be traveling with it?
For me, no, it would be Ireland only. Like, but a lot of people do travel, you know, depending on like what level they are racing and stuff like that. But I was just going to enter a few enduros. There's enduros races. Now, I should explain what an enduro is. It's basically like a day out on the bikes, and there's different stages. So you cycle up the hills, that's not timed. And then when you cycle down stage like one, that's timed. And then you cycle to the next stage, not timed. You go down it and it's timed. And then each stage, like, so there's five stages, get added up at the end and the quickest person wins.
Nicole, you realize you've just described the Circuit of Ireland rally without an engine. That's exactly what you've done.
Yeah, well, that's what it is.
Stages through the day, but yeah, that's tough going, like five stages in a day. Because obviously you're cycling up, so you're exercising. I'm assuming going down is all adrenaline, and then you're back up another hill.
Yeah, it's funny because actually on the way down, at the end of a down stage, I would be more out of breath than going up the hill.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. I mean, your adrenaline only pumps for so long, and then you kind of empty the tank, and you're like, oh, I'm at the bottom of the hill again.
But that's the races I was going to enter there. The first tracks and enduros I was going to go for, because I was lucky enough to be asked to ride for the East Coast team this year, and they've got some like great sponsors and stuff as well.
This was one of the things I was going to say. I mean, to get into the sport in any, even a semi-professional level, or where it's, you're not just out riding with your dad or, you know, with the boyfriend or with your mates.
Mm-hmm.
You need sponsors, right? You need to keep your gear good. You need to, or not that you need sponsors, but if you don't just have that cash floating around, you know what I mean? You're going to have somebody that's kind of keeping you good.
It's really good to have like the support. I got some work guards and stuff even during the week from Mudhugger and stuff. Like, that's great. And the kit from East Coast and stuff's lovely. So I'm just so lucky that way because like it can be an expensive sport. So the sponsors definitely are good.
So East Coast down in Ross River actually have their own team, do they?
Yeah, they have a team, like a mountain bike racing team. So there's about five or six of us. And yeah, I was hoping to race with those guys this year, but maybe next year.
Well, I was going to say, obviously, what's the season or when does it run? Just in the good weather? Is it spring and summer?
Yeah, we'd usually start in spring and then run like through to like September, October, and then that would be it
Yeah, it seems to
for
be getting,
the.
I mean, it seems to be getting, is it getting very popular in Ireland, or is that just that I'm watching your Instagram, or is it that it's always been popular? I mean, we have
No,
the terrain for it.
it's definitely getting more and more popular, I think, and especially there's like such talent here in Ireland as well, like local fellas that are, really like heading to the World Cup and stuff. So like there's really good young talent coming up. So I think maybe that's what's making it more popular. People are recognizing, what's around them as well.
Yeah, I know. It's just because I used to live in Canada and in New Zealand, and it was such a massive sport there.
Yeah,
So
it is.
basically, in
So
Canada, as soon as the snow melts, they're on the
it's
bikes.
bikes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it would be good if it was like this year. Like we have some amazing places on our doorstep, like really good trail centers and stuff, especially for beginners. You don't have to, you can go out and try mountain biking even if you haven't been on a bike from you were a child. Like there is great facilities here. You can start, at real beginner level and work your way up.
Okay, and if you need a decent coach, obviously you can head down to East Coast and your dad's there, like so.
Yeah, but there actually is. There's plenty of local people that do the coaching and stuff as well.
Yeah.
It's not, but yeah, there's loads you can work away at on your own before you would even need coaching.
What is involved in the coaching apart from break when you're supposed to and don't close your eyes, you know what I mean? What's actually in the technique of the sport? Because
In the
obviously,
sport?
there's a lot of times that obviously your bike has a seat, but you're not sitting down a lot, it looks like.
No. So I suppose like the basics would be when you're going downhill, you're up on your pedals, standing up. If you're going down steep sections or over drops or anything, you keep your weight back over the back wheel. Yeah, and I suppose that's the main thing, keeping your weight back, standing up on your pedals, braking, and then you sort of pick up, like if you're doing that, you're doing well.
So what you're telling me here is it's the most mental core workout you can think of.
Yeah, and your quads will be burning by the end, but it's good.
That's true. Yeah, you'll either be bloodied and bo you'll either be bloodied and battered up from getting yourself down the hill, or you'll have a great arse. So get on your bike, everybody. Get up
Yeah.
that
Yeah. But definitely if someone's starting out, like the likes of Castle Weld and stuff, the tame trails, like very tame. You can stick to the blue. That's nothing really on that's gonna, phase you too much. It would sort of just be like cycling around the lake and stuff, and then you can progress. So you don't have to go too mad. Like it's like you can be like real adrenaline rush, but you can take it easy at the same time and enjoy it.
So I shouldn't head up to the park up the road from the house here and put myself in the jump park then. It's probably a bad idea.
Maybe not hit the jump straight away.
Okay, all right. Not even with a good helmet. Just don't. No, that's okay. As you said, like you started off doing it and you kind of worked yourself up slowly. But also, I find that sort of fascinating where you obviously the first time out you wrecked yourself and then
Oh
just
yeah,
rethought about
100%.
it. Was it hard?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I'm sure at this point you've had a couple of falls. Does it not faze you
Yeah,
as much
well.
anymore, or do you be a bit more timid on the track if you come off?
Not really. I think I've only had like really one bad fall, and it was sort of, it wasn't me going hard or anything. It was just one of those things, just like I fell at an awkward angle sort of thing. But yeah, I think I just had sort of the wrong attitude towards it when I started out. I thought like it's supposed to be like scary and supposed to be fast when it's not. Like you can just take your time and enjoy it and not fall off. Like you can cycle and not fall off and hurt yourself, or you can just take it easy and have fun every time that you're out without pushing too hard. Or I think if you're scared going down the trails, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, you probably shouldn't be tackling anything that you don't feel in control of in the first place. But maybe there is a degree of acceptance where, I mean, I play Gaelic football and I played rugby when I was a kid. So at some point where to stop me being afraid, I just kind of accepted that I might get a wee bit hurt, but it's not the end of the world. You know, you're not going to.
Yeah.
So you have to be prepared to be doing that on the bike, I'd say.
Yeah, and just staying in your like sort of skill zone, tackling things that are like achievable. Like I wouldn't go for a massive like road gap like when you're just starting out, but you know, start off on wee small jumps where like maybe if you don't do it perfect, you might, I don't know, slide out but not hurt yourself, you know, that way, and just keep building it up like that. But no, you definitely don't have to be. If you're falling off every ride, you're doing it wrong, you know.
I mean, that's not even advice. That's just a bit of common sense of slow down.
Yeah, some people think. Some people sort of have the attitude like, oh, if you're not falling off, you're not, you know, pushing yourself hard enough. But no, you definitely don't need to be doing that. Just take it easy and enjoy it.
Yeah, as you said, when you first went out, you probably had the wrong attitude and you started at a level up and look what happened. So, I mean, if people can take on board the advice of someone who's done something wrong in the first place, it's probably better. I think maybe people look at stuff like downhill mountain bike. I certainly looked at the guys when I was in Canada. I worked up at a place that was a ski resort in the winter, and then they had bikes, and they would, they would use the ski lift to go up the hill, and the bike would hang off the bottom.
Yeah.
And they would you know, do the downhill. They had it would come through the trees. I went to a few places like that when I was there. That was just in Ontario. That's even before you go out to places like the Rocky Mountains. And But I was looking at that probably where I was thinking, I don't want to do that because those guys knew what they were doing. So it looked, it's like when you watch like the Red Bull racers and they're coming down through streets, they have like street races on mountain bikes.
Yeah, the urban races, they're good to watch.
Yeah, I mean, they're good to watch, but if you went out there and somebody handed you a bike and went, do you want to go? You go, no, I don't.
Yeah, no, but like there's great beginner trails, like definitely, and they'll be so fun. Like you might only be going like real slow, but it'll feel like you're flying, to you, because it's still new and it's safe and fun, and just that's the main things.
For people who are listening in Ireland, have you anywhere that you'd recommend, not even starting out, just anywhere that you like to go to ride?
I love Strava. It's great, good range of trails, like red, black, and some downhill trails. I like Dava as well. It's great. It's mid Ulster for anybody up that way.
Okay.
I love Bigwood. It's on the One Point Road in the quarry. It's probably one of my favourite places to ride. Just all natural trails.
I've seen cars parked out there with the roof racks, but I never knew it was in there.
Yeah, so it's great. It's really, really great, especially in this like sort of dry weather. Like it's lovely. Those would probably be, and then Ravensdale and Dundalk's good as well for anybody that's down there.
That's quite handy. All this is really on your doorstep where you're based.
Yeah, like if you live in like Newry or anywhere, like it's really ideal location. You have so much on your doorstep, and amazing views as well. Like when you go up over Strava, up over the top of a mountain, like you where would you see scenery like that? You know, it's great.
Yeah,
just do you good.
Well, it must be nice. I mean, people do this when they go up their big walks up the hills and stuff, and. Has there been any, I mean, with the whole, the kind of lockdowns and stuff, has it restricted? Obviously, there's a lot of public spaces have closed. Is it a bit harder to get out?
Yeah, definitely. Like all the forest parks and stuff are closed, and you're not supposed to be driving long distances or anything like that to go on the trails. So I've just been sort of cycling from home. So I've been heading up over Slieve Gullion, over the mountains, nothing really mountain bikey on Slieve Gullion, but heading up just the forest drives.
It's a nice view up there as well, so you're not too bad.
Yeah, it's lovely, and it's just sort of trying to take it more of an opportunity to work on my fitness and as a step back sort of thing. So like on a typical day, I go from the house over Slieve Gullion to Camel Mountain, over it and like home. So good fitness in it, and lovely views more importantly.
So at present, with the year off of not being able to kind of do your debut year, are you instead of it being a negative, you're just kind of taking it as a positive to be fitter than you would have been? Is that what you're going for?
Definitely just trying to take it as, because I think if you see it as like a setback, it will be a setback, you know, that way. So just trying to get out as much as possible and do bigger, longer rides that I would have never done before if I was doing trails. you know, so I'll do big long rides on the roads and race my dad up a few hills. He beats me, but still.
It's very sports psychology stuff, that of it's not a setback, it's more time to train, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And you can, like, I've been running and stuff. Like, I took up running in January and sort of have been working on it because you can do it from home and it's handy. You just run the roads.
Well, I mean, something we can talk about then, some of the gear you use and obviously some of the sponsors as well. I mean, if you're happy to go and plug some of that stuff, what is the kind of gear you're using? So, I mean, your actual bike, what have you got? Or
yeah, so I ride a Nuke Proof Mega.
Nuke Proof,
yeah. Okay. It's a good name.
Jesus.
Yeah, so it's a brilliant bike. Like, I absolutely love it. 29er wheel, so it's got the bigger wheels on it. And it's just so good. Like, it's so capable. You just know it's going to carry over anything, really.
How do you, I mean, is it like any bike, are you supposed to measure up? Is your frame size for your height, or how do you get the right bike?
Yeah. It would be just based on your height, but probably not to the same extent that road bikes would be, if that makes sense. Okay. There'd be a bit more leeway in a mountain bike. So I would probably be between a small and a medium. But I prefer the medium just because that's what I'm used to. So it's maybe a wee bit big for me, but I'm used to riding it, so that's what I'm more comfortable on.
So frame size is like small, medium, large, or is everything customizable?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's like small, medium, large. And then because mountain bikes, your seat post is like, it can go up and down. It's a dropper post, like hydraulic. So then you just adjust that real easy.
Okay. Well, so, I mean, there's pretty much nothing people can't Google to find this out about them, about, you know, what's going to suit you, how to get started.
And yeah, and like the bike shops are pretty good. Like, obviously I know you can't go into the bike shops now, but like the likes of Chain Reaction and stuff, like, they're grand. You can go in and try the bikes out for size and they'll give you pretty good advice as well. And then I suppose as well as that, if someone was looking to like try mountain bike and stuff, you can't do it at the minute, but after like the lockdowns ease, like East Coast hires bikes. So you could hire a bike out if you just wanted to give it a try and see what size is good for you.
Which, so hopefully, with a bit of luck, the weather might still be somewhere nice. You can get yourself up for a nice ride up in the Mourne Mountains.
Of course, yeah. And like, that would be an ideal way to try it if anybody's wondering about sizes or anything like that. That would be good. Yeah, so.
Okay, so the best way is to basically ask someone who's done it. That's your good advice for it then.
Yeah. And try back out or two for size if it's possible.
Would you have obviously you've got your bike that you like and that's your brand. Do you have a preference, because surely there's so many companies making so much different gear, so is there any particular helmet you like or your pads or anything, because I'm sure everything fits differently.
I have a gyro helmet, the Chronicle. I like it. It's just a comfortable helmet, like, and my full face helmet, I've got like a lightweight full face for the enduro racing, for maybe if I'm still doing a lot of pedaling but on a bit more gnarly stuff. And it's the IXS Trigger full face one. It's good as well. It only weighs like 600 grams or something,
so it feels like you're not wearing it.
Feels like you're just wearing a wee half lid. Yeah, it's brilliant.
I used to skateboard years ago and your helmet was called your skid lid, so that's how good I was. There was a lot of fucking grinding across the road.
Yeah, definitely. And then I've got the Mud Huggers, like I was saying, from Mud Hugger this week, and they're great. They keep the mud out of your eyes. But this weather, they're more like dust huggers, so hopefully it stays that way.
Well, then I think just to stop you getting covered in crap as you're throwing yourself down a hill, that's probably not the worst thing in the world to have, is it?
No, definitely not.
The bikes don't weigh much, do they?
Mine probably a bit heavier. It's an alloy bike, but you can get carbon ones and all if you want, but mine's alloy, so I'll just keep slogging up the hill.
I was going to say, for downhill, give me a heavier bike, because I feel like I want something that's going to stick to the ground a bit better.
Yeah, well, when you're doing the full downhill guys, they just get the uplifts at the top because they have the big heavy bikes. But I like to do a bit of pedaling, so mine's more of an enduro bike.
Find the halfway between kind of thing, is it?
Yeah, so it's, but the bike's great. Like, it can take anything. Like, I'll ride it down the downhill tracks, and I can ride it on in like on natural trails, and it's just brilliant.
Is there anywhere on the list, like around the world, that you want to go, anywhere you really want to try? Like I was saying, like the trails that where I was in New Zealand and stuff were phenomenal.
Yeah, like New Zealand would be good, or like even Morzine in France. Like, I'd like to go there. They've got great trails. Even over to Bike Park Wales would be like a nice wee trip. I wouldn't mind. That's maybe like more of a realistic one for me. Like, I'd like
because obviously
there.
If you take the bike with you, so stick it on the roof of the car. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe get the ferry over to Scotland or Wales would be great. I'd love to do that.
Yeah. Just a sort of a random question before I let you go. Do people ever find it weird that you say that you spend your weekends getting chased through the woods by your boyfriend?
Yeah. I think people are like a bit taken back when I say like I do mountain biking and stuff. They don't really expect it. But definitely I would recommend it for anybody to try. It's just so good. Even like from work and stuff, you can go mountain biking, and because you're so focused on what you're doing on the way down, like there's no room to be thinking about anything else that's going on. Like, it just clears your head so much. So that's probably the best part about it.
Yeah, so I mean, it's like any exercise. It's a, you know, take a walk for half an hour, go up a mountain on a mountain bike. That sounds pretty good. Yeah. And also obviously as well, if you come off, you're a trained nurse, so you can fix yourself, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully.
And probably a good idea. That's why you're supposed to go riding with someone, isn't it? In case something happens to you. So
yeah, just in case. But like I said, take it easy. Ride within your limits. And like, most importantly, have fun when you're doing it. Like, that's what it's about.
Yeah. If episodes of Scooby-Doo have taught us anything, don't split up and go off on your own.
No, don't do that. Like, always have a buddy to go riding with. That's good. Or at least tell someone where you're going.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah, and how long you're going to be.
Which obviously would be no good to you because you live in South Armagh and there's no phone reception. So
yeah, that's true. So just take someone then.
Yeah, you need a satellite phone and a flare gun to go riding up around home.
Yeah. Yeah. If you see the red flare from Sleep Billion, it's me.
Yeah, yeah. You've come off and you need a bit of assistance. Yeah,
I need help.
Well, I will let you go shortly, Nicole. But thank you very much for coming on and having a crack with us anyway.
No bother. Thanks for having me.
I said us, it's just me. That sounds like I've got a split personality now. We're all chatting to me. What is your, if people want to check out your stuff, you're on the Instagram, can we follow you there?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram. Yeah,
your recommendations of bikes and trails and stuff?
Yeah, so I just basically just post up what I'm doing, what I'm up to, whether it's like in the gym or if I'm running, but mainly it'll be me on bikes. Okay. So it's just Nicole O'Hagan on Instagram. So you can check it out.
So it's just Nicole O'Hagan. It's not Nicole O'Hagan on Instagram. I've confused people with this before. Yes.
Yeah, Nicole_O'Hagan. That's
Nicole
me.
_O'Hagan. Cool. Right. We'll be able to find it that way. And I'll stick up a link whenever I'm putting up the podcast as well for the people check out. What about your sponsors or East Coast? Do they have any of the social media stuff? Can we check them out if we want to go and try riding?
East Coast. Yeah, East Coast Mountain Bike, MTB, East Coast MTB. If you want to follow them, or Rush Trevor Mountain Bike Centre, or East Coast. So you can look up any of them. They're good to check out.
Okay, so if you're in Ireland, give that a Google. And if you're elsewhere around the world, just Google wherever's close to you that you can do mountain biking.
Yeah, so check it out. Have a look.
Unless you live in the Great Plains of America and Canada, where there's no hills. Sorry, we've wasted your time for the last 45 minutes. No, that's okay. Nicole, thank you very much. Anything else you need to add or tell people, or any more advice before we let you go, apart from wash your hands?
No, just wash your hands, wear a helmet, and go ride bikes. You won't regret it.
Sweet. That sounds like a pretty good advert for the sport to me. So, yep. Nicole, thank you very much. Guys, if you've enjoyed this episode of the podcast, like, share, and subscribe. Tell all your friends. If you know anybody who's into their sports or into their mountain biking, share this with them. They might enjoy the opinion of somebody who started off by bashing her chin and is now going to go, hopefully next year, and get into the old racing. So, endure it. I'm off to Google some of the words that you've told me now that I'm, because I was trying to figure out what's going on. So I know enduro now, hardtail. I've learned this is the point of why I do the podcast. It's for me to learn about stuff I have no idea of. Since I think the last bike I owned was when I was about 12. So I'm gonna have to get down to East Coast now and hang out with your dad and get him to take me up a hill somewhere.
Yeah, definitely.
Brilliant. Okay. Nicole, thank you very much for coming on, and Yeah, guys, check out Nicole's stuff online. Nicole underscore O'Hagan is the old Instagram. And hopefully whenever you get up and racing, we'll get you a fan page or something, and we'll progress from there.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and, that sounds just, good.
And whenever you start getting good sponsors, find out what the staff discount's like and give me a shout, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
No problem. All right, Nicole, thank you very much for coming on. Guys, same again. We will be back with another episode, trying to release 2 a week during the lockdown to keep everybody interested, seeing as you're all sitting in the house or doing the garden, and this gives you something to listen to. So thanks for listening. Tell all your friends about me. And Nicole, say bye.
Bye.